Have you ever wondered why some people seem to evolve quietly, while others stay stuck in the same place, repeating the same frustrations, chasing the same approval, and never quite breaking through? Here's the truth most people miss. Real transformation doesn't happen when you're explaining yourself. It doesn't come from being louder, faster, or more visible. It happens in silence, in the moments no one sees, the early mornings, the disciplined decisions, the quiet work that rewires you from the inside out. And that's where Stoicism hits hardest, because it doesn't tell you to perform. It tells you to focus, to build inward strength so solid the world can't shake it. Today, we're diving into why silence isn't weakness, it's strategy. And how focusing on yourself without the need to be seen unlocks the kind of clarity and power most people never touch. The people who truly shape their lives, those rare individuals who reach a level of success that's not just external, but deeply internal, know something most of the world misses. They've tapped into a kind of wisdom that doesn't need an audience. They're not obsessed with sharing their every step or justifying their every choice. They don't live in explanation mode. While others are trying to win arguments, gain approval, or craft the perfect image, these people are quietly, relentlessly building. They move with a kind of calm certainty, the kind that comes from not needing validation. They've learned to find peace in progress and meaning in discipline. And the paradox, the less they say, the more powerful they seem. Because there's something magnetic about those who operate in silence. You can sense it when you're around them. Their presence speaks without words. You feel their focus, their clarity, their inner stillness, and none of it comes from trying to be impressive. Plato once said, "Wise men speak because they have something to say, fools because they have to say something." It's not about muting your voice. It's about making sure what you say is anchored in substance, not just noise. But what is it about silence that makes it so powerful? Is it just restraint? Is it simply avoiding small talk or staying out of drama? Not at all. Real silence, the kind that transforms you, isn't passive. It's not just the absence of speech, it's the presence of depth. It's active, intentional. It's where awareness sharpens, where your thoughts settle, where your energy gathers and reorganizes. It's not empty, it's full of insight, of potential, of clarity. When you step away from the constant stimulation of the world, your brain doesn't shut down, it switches gears. It begins to operate differently. In that stillness, something incredible happens. You begin to see yourself clearly. The fog lifts. The path ahead starts to reveal itself, not because someone else handed it to you, but because you finally created space for it to emerge. Carl Jung captured this perfectly. Who looks outside, dreams. Who looks inside, awakes. In silence, you wake up to your own patterns. You hear the stories you've been repeating in your mind. You confront the discomforts you've numbed with noise. And that's why most people avoid it. Because silence is honest. It doesn't let you hide. In silence, your doubt shows up. Your guilt. Your insecurity. And instead of facing it, most people grab their phone, open a new tab, argue with someone online. Anything to avoid being alone with themselves. But avoidance isn't neutral. What you avoid doesn't just disappear. It buries itself deeper, quietly draining you from the inside out. It fragments your focus. It whispers confusion into your decisions. And soon, you start wondering why you feel exhausted even when you haven't done much. Why you feel stuck even when you're busy. That's the weight of unprocessed thoughts. The tax of unresolved tension. So why do we keep choosing the noise? Because we've been trained to equate being seen with being valuable. The more attention we get, the more important we feel. But Aristotle offered a warning long before social media existed. The ultimate value of life depends upon awareness and the power of contemplation rather than upon mere survival. Constantly seeking attention is a form of survival, a way to avoid the deeper work. But it keeps your mind on edge, always reacting, never reflecting. What would happen if you stopped reacting? If you stopped explaining yourself and just moved with quiet confidence? What if you observed more than you spoke, acted more than you posted? You'd save energy. You'd reclaim the mental bandwidth that's been slowly leaking from 1,000 trivial interactions. And that energy could be invested in mastery, in building something meaningful, in living a life that feels aligned, not just admired. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living," and silence, real reflective silence, is where that examination begins, not guided by algorithms, trends, or applause, but by honest self-inquiry, by the kind of stillness that allows your truest self to emerge. Your brain, despite what the world suggests, isn't built to process thousands of opinions a day. It's not designed for constant multitasking, reacting, comparing. It's designed to focus, to assess, to adapt. But when it's overwhelmed by noise, by gossip, by endless scrolling, by unnecessary drama, it starts to misfire. You stop thinking clearly, you stop feeling grounded, you lose the edge that once made you decisive, sharp, and purposeful. And what's the real cost? Not just tiredness, not just distraction. You lose your intuition. You dull the very instinct that once helped you make bold moves. That slow erosion of inner clarity is far more dangerous than any single failure. Because without clarity, you don't trust yourself. You hesitate. You second guess. But what if you chose a different path? What would your life look like if you reclaimed your attention and redirected it inward? What kind of person would you become if your identity was built not on how the world sees you, but on how deeply you know yourself? What kind of progress could you make if you didn't need it to be loud? If you just did the work, silently, patiently, and let the results speak for themselves? Ask yourself, how often are you losing moments, opportunities, even entire days, reacting to meaningless distractions? Not because the distractions are powerful, but because they're persistent. A message here, a headline there, a meaningless argument that sticks with you far too long. And before you know it, your day is gone. Not spent, but scattered. You feel drained, not from effort, but from fragmentation, like 1,000 tiny cuts that don't bleed you dry all at once, but over time steal your focus, your drive, your clarity. How often do you feel exhausted, not because of physical strain, but because your attention was pulled in too many directions? That's not just a feeling, it's a neurological reality. Your brain, specifically your prefrontal cortex, is wired for deliberate thought, for concentration, for vision. It thrives on clarity, not chaos. When it's given silence, it resets, it recalibrates, it begins to focus again, and out of that silence, something most people never tap into begins to emerge: control. But what is control, really? It's not about overpowering others or rigidly suppressing emotions. Control is self-mastery. It's when your actions align with your values, regardless of who's watching. Aristotle said, "What lies in our power to do, lies in our power not to do." True control is choosing not to react, not to prove, not to perform. And that power lives in your prefrontal cortex. Not the limbic system that urges you to scroll, argue, or compare, but the part of you that plans, focuses, and commits. Here's something psychology and philosophy both agree on. Your identity is shaped not by what you say, but by what you consistently do. You can tell the world you're disciplined, driven, focused, but if your behaviors say otherwise, your brain knows the truth. Carl Jung once said, "You are what you do, not what you say you'll do." That's not just a poetic idea, it's biology. Your brain wires itself based on repeated action. When you wake up early, exercise, resist distraction, your prefrontal cortex is strengthened. Neural pathways solidify. You're not just acting differently, you're becoming someone different. But isn't motivation supposed to help with that? Isn't that what keeps us moving? Here's what most people miss. True motivation isn't external, it's neurological. You don't get lasting drive from applause. You get it from progress. Dopamine, the brain's chemical of motivation, doesn't flood your system when someone praises you. It activates when you see yourself getting better, when you read another chapter, when you run one more mile, when you keep a promise to yourself. And the interesting part? This all happens best in silence, in those moments no one sees. That 6 a.m. grind, that decision to eat with intention, that choice to work instead of scroll, that's when the brain rewards you. So why are we so quick to announce our intentions before we've even begun? I'm going to get in shape. I'm writing a book. I'm building something big. It feels good to say it. It gives the illusion of progress. But neuroscience paints a different picture. When you tell people your goals too soon, your brain releases dopamine as if you've already done the work. You get a premature reward without the growth. Plato said, "The beginning is the most important part of the work." And if you burn your energy on declarations, you never make it past that beginning. Why does this matter? Because premature celebration is the enemy of discipline. When you confuse talking with doing, you trick your nervous system into a false sense of accomplishment. You build an identity based on perception instead of performance. And when the applause fades, you're left with no system, no discipline, no momentum. So what's the alternative? Say less. Do more. Let your actions build the narrative. Let the silence be the forge where your new identity takes shape. Not because you told the world who you're becoming, but because you quietly became it. Real transformation doesn't come from posting declarations or collecting claps. It doesn't come from perfectly crafted status updates or sharing your grand intentions with the world. It comes, quietly and stubbornly, from your daily systems, the tiny, repeated decisions you make when no one's watching. You wake up at the same time each morning. You show up to your workout not because someone's tracking you, but because you said you would. You open that book, you sit with that project, you resist the scroll, and in doing so, you slowly rewire your brain. Not in some abstract, symbolic way, literally. Your neural pathways shift. You create new circuits of discipline, focus, and drive. And what the world eventually sees as change is just the byproduct of the consistency they never noticed. Why is it that people only notice transformation once it's already happened? Because growth is mostly invisible. It happens in the early mornings, in the late nights, in the decision to try again when you could have quit. The world loves results, but it's blind to process. And here's where it gets uncomfortable. Real growth doesn't just separate you from old habits, it separates you from old versions of yourself, from people who are still attached to those versions. So what happens when your actions start to shift, but your environment doesn't? That's when the friction begins. The people closest to you, friends, family, co-workers, they start to question. Not necessarily out of malice, but out of discomfort. Your evolution disrupts their comfort zone. It challenges the fixed image they've held of you. As Carl Jung observed, the most terrifying thing is to accept oneself completely. And by stepping into a new self, you're forcing others to reconsider who you are, and maybe who they are too. Can you handle that? Can you remain silent in the face of confusion, criticism, or even mockery? Can you walk your path without needing applause for each step? Because if you can, something rare and powerful happens. You stop needing permission. You stop waiting to be understood. And in doing so, you become internally untouchable. You develop a kind of resilience that isn't reactive, it's rooted. Not because you never feel doubt, but because you've trained yourself to keep moving forward in the silence, despite it. This is what Stoic philosophers meant by strength of character. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Waste no more time arguing what a good man should be. Be one." There's no need to advertise who you're becoming. No need to justify your standards or narrate your discipline. Just be it. Quietly. Consistently. Look back through history and you'll see a pattern. The people who left a lasting impact didn't waste their energy explaining every move. They focused on execution, on becoming, on delivering. Think about it. Lions don't announce their presence in the jungle. They stalk in silence, focused, lethal, patient. Surgeons don't yell during an operation. They move precisely, attentively, every gesture deliberate. Their silence isn't absence, it's presence. Complete, focused, immersive presence. So what if your silence isn't a void but a signal? What if it's not a lack of expression but the highest form of discipline? The kind that doesn't beg to be seen because it already knows its value. The kind that doesn't chase applause because its reward is the quiet momentum building beneath the surface. That's the kind of silence that transforms. That's the kind that eventually speaks so loudly, no words are needed at all. And the question is, are you willing to become that person, even if no one claps? Attention isn't just focus. It's energy, real biological energy. And like any form of energy, it runs out. You only get so much of it in a day. Your brain runs on neurotransmitters like norepinephrine and acetylcholine, the chemicals that fuel your ability to concentrate, plan, and act with purpose. But they're not limitless. Every time you check your phone for no reason, every time you open 5 tabs and don't commit to one, every time you argue just to prove a point, you're spending that energy. Little by little, distraction robs you of the mental clarity you could have invested in building something real, something that matters. How often do we give away our best hours to things that don't feed us, that don't challenge us, grow us, or move us forward? It's almost automatic. But what if you chose silence instead? What if, in a moment of temptation, you paused, not out of avoidance, but as an act of power? That pause is everything, because when you choose silence, you're choosing clarity. You give your brain the breathing room it desperately needs to start operating from a place of strategy instead of stress. You allow your mind's deeper layers, those responsible for long-term thinking, creativity, and identity formation, to step in and lead. And here's the irony. Silence may look still from the outside, but internally, it's anything but. It's alive. It's dynamic. It's a battleground of thought and emotion. Sitting in silence isn't passive. It's an act of courage. Why? Because silence forces you to face what most of us spend our lives avoiding. Ourselves, our doubts, our unprocessed pain, the stories we've been telling ourselves for years but never questioned. Carl Jung understood this deeply. He wrote, "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate." In silence, the unconscious begins to rise. All the things you've buried under distractions come to the surface. And when they do, you have a choice. You can either numb them again or engage with them. That engagement is where real growth begins. It's where emotional fortitude is built. So how do you train that fortitude? How do you build a nervous system that doesn't panic at discomfort, but responds with precision? By staying in the silence a little longer than is comfortable. Each time you resist the urge to reply impulsively, to defend your ego, or to chase a quick hit of approval, you're rewiring your brain. You're teaching it to choose purpose over performance. Socrates once said, "The greatest way to live with honor in this world is to be what we pretend to be." And every time you choose silence over reaction, you take a step closer to that. You start becoming the version of yourself that doesn't just talk about growth, but lives it. Not for the sake of appearances, but because it's who you are choosing to become when no one's watching. And let's not pretend it's easy. This internal training is messy. Some days it feels like progress, others like regression. But over time, the architecture of your mind begins to shift. The space between stimulus and response grows. The craving for recognition fades. What replaces it is a quiet confidence, a deeper knowing. The kind that doesn't need to announce itself because it's rooted in something far stronger than validation. It's rooted in self-respect. Imagine waking up and knowing, truly knowing, what you're building, who you're becoming, and why you're doing it. No noise in your mind pulling you toward comparison. No obsession with being understood. Just clarity. A deep, grounded sense of direction that doesn't depend on whether anyone else sees it or approves of it. That kind of clarity doesn't arrive through applause. It's built through silence, slowly, steadily, and often in solitude. You begin to live not for validation, but for alignment. When your identity matches your actions day after day, something powerful happens. You stop needing to be told you're doing well. You know you are. Why is that so hard for most people to access? Because we've been taught to chase visibility instead of mastery, to broadcast effort rather than embody it. But here's what neuroscience and philosophy agree on. Your brain doesn't build identity from what you say, it builds it from what you do. The prefrontal cortex, the seat of logic, planning, and discipline, doesn't care about your declarations. Say, "I'm focused," but spend your day in chaos, and your brain senses the contradiction. That gap creates internal conflict, a kind of cognitive dissonance that erodes motivation over time. But if you flip that, if your behavior consistently reflects your goals, even when no one's watching, then the brain starts syncing. It recognizes patterns, repetition, commitment, and identity in turn becomes stable. That's when real motivation becomes internal, not because someone praised you, but because you honored your own word. What does it look like when that transformation takes root? You begin to crave progress more than praise. You choose consistency over spectacle. Your dopamine system recalibrates. It no longer spikes at a notification or a like, but at the quiet win. Finishing the work you said you'd finish, pushing through the resistance, holding yourself to a higher standard without needing witnesses. Plato wrote, "The first and best victory is to conquer self." And that victory is won in silence, not in spectacle. Have you noticed how the people you truly admire rarely explain themselves? They don't waste energy defending their process or detailing their every move. They let the work speak. Their focus is razor sharp, their discipline evident, not through slogans or statements, but through the results they consistently produce. That's not just confidence, it's clarity. And clarity, as it turns out, is one of the most powerful psychological tools we have. So why do they choose silence? Because it protects something far more valuable than public perception. It protects bandwidth. Every time you defend your choices, you spend mental energy that could have been used to refine them. Every time you explain your vision to someone who doesn't understand it, you dilute your own focus. Silence isn't withdrawal, it's preservation. It's the buffer zone where high-level thinking happens without interruption. Aristotle believed that excellence is not an act, but a habit. And habits are formed in the quiet spaces between noise. They're formed in the decisions no one else sees, in the discipline that never gets posted, in the hours of repetition that yield no instant gratification. But over time, that repetition becomes reality. That reality becomes identity. And that identity becomes power. The kind that no one can take away because it wasn't built for them in the first place. Transformation, therefore, isn't some grand cinematic moment where everything shifts. It's not a single breakthrough or a motivational high, or that one day you finally get your life together. It's not about the goals you post online or the promises you make to others. Real transformation is a system. It's daily. It's repetitive. It's often boring. But it's in that very repetition where power is forged. You don't rise to your goals. You fall to your systems. And here's the thing. Goals are emotional. You feel inspired, so you write something down. You get excited, so you take a first step. But feelings fade, goals change, life gets in the way. What doesn't fade is structure. Systems are built on behavior, not mood. And when you start putting structure into your life, when you wake at the same time each day, move your body consistently, eat with purpose, eliminate the clutter, you stop relying on motivation, you start depending on rhythm. And rhythm is far more reliable than inspiration. Why is this so important? Because without structure, your mind wanders. Your emotions take the wheel. And that leads to inconsistency, which is the enemy of identity. As Aristotle wrote, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. You don't become excellent by having excellent thoughts. You become excellent by building habits that support the kind of person you want to be, one action at a time. And it starts with the body. There's a reason the Stoics trained themselves physically as much as mentally. They understood that discipline in the body translates to discipline in the mind. When you train, you're not just improving your health, you're reshaping your relationship to effort. You're learning to show up even when you don't feel like it. You're learning to endure discomfort, to push past resistance, to stay the course without needing immediate reward. That's not vanity, that's inner development. But let's be honest, the beginning is hard. Silence feels unnatural at first. Routine feels restrictive. You'll want to break it. You'll want to prove to someone that you're working hard. You'll want to shout your progress, to gain approval. But that's the trap. Carl Jung once said, "Your vision will become clear only when you look into your own heart." Silence isn't absence, it's presence. When you remove the distractions, the noise, the endless performance, you're left with you. And that's where real transformation begins. The more you sit in that discomfort, the more your mind adapts. Slowly, you stop craving the noise. The urgency fades. The fear of being unseen dissolves. And what's left is this quiet, powerful presence, steady, focused, clear. You start making decisions that are aligned. You stop explaining yourself to people who never took the time to understand you in the first place. You walk your path, not because people are watching, but because it's your path. Have you ever noticed that the people who carry real gravity in a room are often the quietest? It's not about charisma, it's about coherence. They aren't fragmented, they aren't performing. They've done the internal work, and it shows. They've chosen silence, not as withdrawal, but as refinement, as control. Socrates believed that the secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. That's exactly what silence allows. Eventually, your quiet consistency becomes impossible to ignore. But by then, the recognition won't matter. You'll already be living from a place of internal reward. You won't need applause to know you're on the right path. The peace you feel, the strength you carry, the clarity you protect, that will be your reward. And no one can take that from you. Because it wasn't given to you by the world. It was earned in silence. And in the end, that's what real transformation looks like. Not loud, not dramatic, but steady, rooted, deliberate, built from the inside out. Silence isn't weakness. It's where real strength begins. It's in those quiet moments, when no one's watching, that you shape the version of yourself the world eventually can't ignore. You don't need to announce every step. Just keep taking them. Keep showing up. The results will speak when the time is right. Thanks for being a part of Stoic Journal. Stay steady, stay focused. And when you're ready, come back. We'll be right here.